You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
51 years ago, this happened.
Contact light. Okay, engine stop. Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Whoa. Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Those, of course, were the words between Neil Armstrong, who flew a spacecraft right and landed on the moon. It was such a big deal. I feel sorry for you if you didn't live through that. I really do. That was incredible. I was in the basement of our house where it was cool because we didn't have air conditioning in North Carolina. Why would you need air conditioning? And watching the little black and white TV, someone once said and recently wanted to know and thought maybe the moon landing was a fake because they actually had video of Neil Armstrong stepping off down the ladder and on to the moon, even though it was a very crude, you know, black and white photograph. By today's standards, it was very rough. Not the image wasn't clear and stuff. And they said, well, somebody had to put that camera there. And I thought it was on the outside of the spacecraft, you know. So he did do that. And then it takes like forever to do anything in space. I mean, even recently watching the docking, my wife and I were sitting there watching it live and stuff, and they're preparing to come from the spacecraft into the International Space Station and everything and wrapping all this stuff. So that's one thing that will always, I guess, it's just one of those things. But of course, you know, you had, this happened. This is the important thing, coming down the steps. This is one, the thing everybody remembers, the actual copy of Neil Armstrong. You remember who else was in there? He came out as well, too.
I'm going to step off the limb now.
This is Neil Armstrong.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
So there it is. So some people wonder if he was supposed to actually say that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, which kind of makes more sense. We don't know whether it got lost in the, obviously you can tell the radio transmission had its little blips in it and stuff. But 1969, that was one of the biggest deals that ever happened there that humans had ever done. And we did it just so we could beat the Russians, you know. And then it was like for a couple of years there, we collected moon rocks and came back. And it was like, we sure are spending a lot of money to do this. what's happening? But the one thing that I always like about the I don't know if I can capture this or not, but one thing that I always like is that little.
It's one small step for man.
Oh, I can't get it. That little bleep thing that goes in on the radio. I'll never forget. I always love that.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
I got to encourage you and tell you about somebody in history that was right around in our neighborhood, really. And maybe at some point you'll be visiting Boston. And you definitely want to check out the birthplace or the home of Rebecca Lee Crumpler. Love her name. It's pretty, I mean, I just like the name right away. She, in 1864, became a doctor of medicine in the United States after attending New England Female Medical College. Rebecca Lee Crumpler graduated medical college at a time, not only were there not many women, there were not any African-American women, right? And she also published books. She practiced medicine, primarily serving poor women and children in Boston. After the American Civil War ended in 1865, she actually moved to Richmond, Virginia, believing treating women and children there was an ideal way to perform missionary work. She worked for the Freedmen's Bureau to provide medical care to freed slaves. There, she was subject to, quote, intense racism and sexism while practicing medicine. She later moved back to Boston to continue to treat women and children. In 1883, she published a book of medical discourses dedicated to nurses and mothers, focused on material and pediatric medical care, and was one of the first publications written by an African-American about medicine. She was, in fact, the only female physician author in 1800s. A pre-health club named Rebecca Lee Pre-Health Society at Syracuse University, and the Rebecca Lee Society, one of the first medical societies for African-American women, were named after her. Her Joy Street House, that's the name of it, is a stop on the Boston Women's Heritage Trail. Thought you'd like to know. If you see that name, Rebecca Lee Crumpler, you will know a little more about her, right? She was an active member of the 12th Baptist Church. Her husband, she was married twice. Her first husband died, and she got married again, and then he survived her later on. They had a home on 20 Garden Street in Boston. They had a daughter, Lizzie, born there in 1870. There are no photographs or images. There were a few of people back in the day. No photographs or images of her. A Boston Globe article described her as a, quote, very pleasant and intellectual woman and a persistent church worker. That's not the word they use, but I can't pronounce the word they use. I've never seen it before. It's very difficult to pronounce. But Dr. Crumpler is 59 or 60 years of age, tall and straight with light brown skin and gray hair. About marriage, she said the secret to a successful marriage is to continue in the careful routine of the courting days till it becomes well understood between the two.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So I was learning about the chairman. They call him the chairman. He makes his shirt says, I turn wood into things. What's your superpower?
That's a good hobby.
It is a very good hobby. And his neighbors actually call him the chairman.
Don't take that title. That's good.
All right. So he has been in his garage making things, and they're very well crafted, beautiful things. You know, at first I was watching the video and I thought, well, they're going to be having to be finished later. Oh, no, he finishes them. They're absolutely gorgeous. And he came across this idea of making smaller chairs for the kids.
I just thought about a woman's shelter that's close to here, and I took a couple over, and it's built for them. Momentarily getting away from reality of what they're going through. That
for the kids there, yeah. It
means a lot. Inside, they make me feel like I walk away with more than I gave. These things are going to be around a lot longer than I am, and that's what I want. But I'll continue to do it because it is good for me along with everybody else.
Absolutely beautiful. You go, Bob. In fact, he recently got a check from a credit union there, $5,000, just to pay it forward to help him buy some supplies and do that. And a lot of that is, you know, in the making, He loves what he's doing. So I think he has retired into something that is even more, maybe more meaningful. I don't even know what he did before that, but he's doing something as he realizes now that what he's doing is really creating a legacy in the, you know, in the time that he has left on this earth. So it's really pretty cool. And he doesn't mind being called the chairman.
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
Well, I think he just likes to run. I've been learning a little bit about a New Jersey man named James Leitner. And man, he has had some escapades. He runs a lot. And he's running right now. He's halfway of his 900-mile ultra endurance run. He does like 30 miles a day. Wow-wee. But it's all to raise clean water. He's only 27, and he started a nonprofit called Mission Clean Water. He finds out about needs in Africa and other places around the world, I would imagine, but I know about a couple in Africa. He is currently every day out at Tamaqua's Park. Yeah, it's in Westfield, New Jersey, a little bit west of Newark there in those community, Scotch Plains, I think it's around there. Anyway, so when you go through a community, like every 2 seconds when you're on the highway. I don't think it's in the listing areas. I think it's just a little bit south of the listing area, which is too bad there. But he found out, his name is James Leitner, and he found out about this St. Elizabeth's all-girls school in Uganda, and he's going to raise $30,000 for a clean water system there. I have seen the water that many people drink in other places in the world, and unfortunately, it's you would just... Boy, you just can't imagine. And you're looking at these little kids and stuff. Now, there's a couple of different things you should know about the water in a lot of places on the earth. Unfortunately, you know, it's not local. And women and girls, a lot of times, are the ones that have to go get it. And sometimes it can be very dangerous for them because they have to travel a distance. So this particular one that last Wednesday, I guess it was, he reached the halfway mark, 450 miles of his 900-mile journey. And I'll post the little article about him in case you want to get involved in something like that. It's pretty cool. But he's the one that walked across the country from New Jersey to California, toting 10 gallons of water. He walked 3,250 miles. He did it to symbolize the distance that women and girls in Africa walk every year getting water for their families. Back last year, he ran 100 miles in 24 hours. He does different things like that. He's an ultra-endurance fundraiser runner, I guess. He ran a marathon a month for 12 straight months, carrying 45 pounds of water over his head. So it's very symbolic. You know, people see, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Because I am doing it in symbolizing what women and girls have to do. They're the ones in their culture that have been designated for getting this water. 45 pounds of water. That's what they carry. 12-year-old girls doing that. And sometimes in places where they shouldn't be by themselves walking along, it can be very dangerous. So all that kind of stuff falls into it, not to mention the clean water. If you look at the water they scoop out of these ponds and animal watering holes and such, compared to water coming out of a well like that, it's just incredible. And the joy in them, the health that returns to them is just incredible. So I just thought I'd, Yeah, Scotch Plains, New Jersey. That's where the news article's out of. I'll post it for you on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook news feed for you.
Press the superhero button.
The sound of life.
Not that we really need a National Junk Food Day. I mean, we don't need a day on the calendar to remind us that we celebrate junk food. This is pretty much a given thing. But here it is, the day after the moon landing anniversary, the 21st National Junk Food Day. Some people will come up to you and say, you know, calories don't count. No, that's from a wrong... That's a pagan god right there. Oh, they do. They're there. They certainly do. But today, they say today's the day to chow down on your favorite not-so-healthy snacks. And, of course, we do that all the time. I'm the world's worst at that. I was keeping calories account one time. I got this app on my phone. It was brilliant because it keeps a record of what you eat so that as you start to enter your bacon or your eggs or, you know, your ham sandwich or whatever it is, the product that you start putting in there, it remembers the last time you had that, boom, and it pops it in. And it's like, is this what you're having? Yeah, that's it. I'm having it again. That's it. But I did great on the meals. It was the snacks and the calories just explode. It just stunned me. It really did. Amazing. But I digress, because as Tim Hawkins has, I think, correctly pointed out, we ask God to bless our junk food choices. Don't we?
Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos. And this jumbo Dr. Pepper, Lord. Somehow make this nourish us in some way. I don't know how you're going to do it, Father, but we just trust in you now. Father, change the molecular structure of this food. This complete trash we're about to shove in our gullet. Change the Cheeto into a carrot stick on the way down. spirit of low carb rain down on me now. I pray a hedge of protection around my pancreas, Lord. Right now.
Oh, man.
Intervene.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
So everybody is kind of looking for a vaccine. It's amazing because some people have said, man, you're talking about a couple of years. You know, imagine being the brains that is working on a vaccine. I was reading about how they do this, and you can barely make your way through it. I mean, unless you got a scientific mind, which, you know, maybe I'm a couple of notches lower than they are. But most people, public health experts, pretty much agree that when the vaccine comes along, in other words, a vaccine is necessary to be able to return to normal life. Kind of like what you do flu season things, at least with me, you know. I'm that age where every year I go to the doctor, you know, hey, you want this? Okay, hang on. And we're getting it. Now, there's some people that are saying, I'm not touching vaccine coming out of that. But it has, you know, this pandemic has infected millions of people and some not so good. It's always distant until it's somebody that you know. Perfectly healthy, you know, young person. Here they are on a respirator. What is happening, you know, this thing? So there's a lot we don't understand about the virus, but there's a lot that we do now. And you may have very well heard of the company Moderna. And they've been doing some testing right over in Massachusetts there, Cambridge. They call it phase one, and it's really good news. Now, you kind of wonder, they must have known, I think we got this, you know, this is looking pretty good. How they know that, I'm not sure, but they're just talking about the makeup of the thing. What they're doing, I don't know. I'm not going to try to explain that. But the thing is, this biotech firm from Cambridge, Massachusetts has finished, I think, or they're in the middle of this, of the very first preliminary, the phase one of the trials. They only use 45 participants, so they're going to need a lot more. But all the participants developed antibodies. So they, it so-called neutralizing antibodies that bind to the virus and stop it from attacking other cells. So they created this thing that's going to bind to the cells. How does that happen? Man, that is really something else. The Moderna vaccine candidate was the first to be tested on human subjects. And so they released the paper, was confirmed in the New England Journal of Medicine, I do believe, and positive results being published right there. I guess what they're saying is they're going to need a lot more in order to get the official approval, all right? I guess the side effects were kind of normal, no cause for concern. Everybody's, you know, in a range of people have a little bit about that. But it's been, people are very, very, very promising. But as one cautionary person said, you just don't know anything until you do phase three. You know, you always got those phase three people. You know, and most of us are going, okay, that's good for me. 45 people, it looked good. Yeah, let's go. And then other people are like, I'm not touching that thing. I don't know, you know. But anyway, it's very encouraging news, something that happened very fast, people working very hard. And you know, I think prayer comes into that too.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Charles Morris, love that guy. We actually hugged each other. And I'm not a hugging type of person, but I am kind of now. I've been changed, really have, you know, and so I just remember, because I just think the guy is really talented and taking current events and really making something spiritual out of them and talking about them. He does it for more than just a minute. He does it for a minute here on Haven, but he does longer programs, and you can hear him on Sunday right after the preaching at 11. So it's like 11:30. You can hear the half-hour program where he summarizes things of the week and has some music in there and stuff as well too. But today he's talking about the fact that you have a person die, and at the same time you have another person die, and one eclipses the other. And I man, it's hard not to see a pattern here. I don't know if you remember back when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. The day that he died, of course, the news shocked the world. C.S. Lewis died the same day. Same day. Totally eclipsed. Great man of God. Oh, my goodness gracious. Great man of God. Not all that long ago, Princess Diana shocked the world. She was killed in a car crash. Now, it wasn't the same day, but it was either the day after or 2 days after, right about that time. Of course, you know, the media was just all over it, constant wall-to-wall for a couple of days. Mother Teresa died. That's not interesting. And just a few days ago, a great civil rights leader, representative in Congress, no doubt about that, John Lewis, passed away. The day that he died, J.I. Packer died. Who was an incredible man of God. I remember reading his book. It's world famous, Knowing God. That's interesting, isn't it? Wow. J.I. Packer said, once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place on their own accord.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
I say start small and work up. Now try again, boy. Kids nowadays and know it all.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the sound of life.
Cool story for you about ventilators. We've heard a lot about that, and you think, boy, how can anything really cool come out of ventilators, you know? Well, it did. It's absolutely incredible. And it happened in, of all places, Afghanistan, back in mid-March. And then when they were inundated with people that had COVID-19, $20,000 ventilators, they had a couple hundred of them. Maybe I'm exaggerating about that. Maybe it was 700, something like that. But an 18-year-old high school student named Samaya was in on the unveiling. A couple of the girls' team did this, unveiling this certainly low-cost, lightweight ventilator created by her and six other young women. It's an all-female Afghan robotics team, and they have won international awards for its robots. So they're not new to inventing something. It's pretty cool. They started work in March on an open-source, low-cost ventilator as the coronavirus pandemic hit. And, I mean, as you know, Afghanistan is just wrecked with war, you know, like Atlanta after the Civil War. Well, you wouldn't know about that. The team, it took 4 months to finalize the ventilator. It is based on an MIT design, and they got a lot of expert help, or they got expert help from Harvard University, which is good. It's good on both sides, isn't it? It's a good team. It's easy to carry. It can even run on a battery power for 10 hours, and it costs $700 to make. Ventilators, $20,000. Wow. That's amazing. It's like hospital administrators like, now let me get this straight. Okay. We've got, but you know, sometimes it takes somebody outside the box, doesn't we always say that? It's amazing. Now it still has to undergo final testing. So we still got to go through that. And, you know, by the time they'll get it out on the market and they'll be like, hey, we got a vaccine, which is doing very well too. That's really good news on that front. But, it's really cool. I thought, they had, you know, just like other countries, they had a bunch of people with it and people were dying of it and stuff like that. So the health ministry spokesperson just said, you know, we're very happy about that. Once they would be rolled out in hospitals, the design shared with the World Health Organization. That's pretty cool. That's what people do, right? So and he said one more thing. This is the official health ministry spokesperson in Afghanistan.
You go, girl.
Yeah, that's right.
The sound of life.
Charlie Daniels, suddenly gone into eternity. He used to do a thing, I think it was in the 70s. He'd do these big outdoor concerts. I've said that before because they were kind of the thing after Woodstock, you know, outdoors with everybody's trying to recreate that whole thing. Well, they used to have some big crowds. And he had them down south, man. He had some huge crowds. Outdoors, and the band would take a break at some point, and he would sing Amazing Grace a cappella, and it is one of the strangest things you've ever seen, with just this concert crowd, you know, half of them inebriated, all of them just about, but you know, who knows, You know that type. You know, they're all waving those Confederate flags around. Oh, and everything. And he's out there singing, worshiping God, singing this Amazing Grace. And you think of all that. It's just amazing when somebody takes the trouble and the time to do something that they don't have to do right in the middle, kind of making a statement like that. Radio station, kind of trying to get listeners when you give away a car, aren't you? I mean, that's kind of like, oh, I see what they're up to right there, you know, and you have to work with a lot of your advertisers to be able to do that. And it sounds good, makes good radio, right? Except when you give away a Matchbox car and the people don't realize it. That has actually happened. Yeah, I don't know. That turned out to be, you know, these practical jokes, I'm not big on that. But for a church to give away a car, not one car, but a couple of cars, wow. It's a pretty cool church. Now, they're in a needy part of the country. They're in Glen Burnie, Maryland. I probably mispronounced it, but they're in Maryland, and it's called the I-5 City Church. And they're in the midst of struggling people as well. And they partnered with some ministries. And last weekend, they not only distributed a couple of new cars, they distributed 100,000 pounds of food. They described themselves as, and I quote, a group of people crazy enough to believe we can change the world. And they draw their mission from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 36. God has called us to be the tangible hands and feet of Jesus. We do this by meeting practical needs in our community. People reportedly showed up in hundreds of cars to get food, while volunteers also brought packages of food for those who were unable to physically collect the gifts. So pretty cool thing to do. And I mean, that's, you know, for them, it's just like, well, that's what the church does, right? You know, that's kind of the way it is. We meet practical needs, because talking to somebody about spiritual things when their stomach is growling, you know, or their mind is on something else, it's tough to do. All right. He said, we're not just a church that does outreach. We're an outreach powered by the church. We live beyond ourselves, love beyond ourselves and our preferences, and laugh beyond our struggles.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
The Sound of Life.
I have on my mind the Uyghurs, or is it? I think it's pronounced Uyghurs. They are the Muslim people in China. That whole thing started, I believe. They're in Western China. They're on the border with, it's Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, you know, they're in there. And it's mountainous and stuff. And about 20 years ago, China discovered minerals, very valuable minerals there. And they started mining like crazy and displacing people and stuff. And the people got upset and they were Muslims. And so when you get upset in China, they make it look like it's your fault. So there's people hate them. And as I read about and remember sometimes about what happened in Nazi Germany, and I think, man, oh, man, this is kind of happening again. They very effectively cultivated a hatred towards those people. And somebody recently had a drone footage of over the train station there, and there was hundreds of them. The men, they're all handcuffed on their knees, blindfolded, so they're being herded onto these trains and taken to camps. And I use that word in quotations. And so, I know about some of the facilities, and I use that word in quotation, that they have. I think they call them re-educational facilities, because some people who have been in them have gotten out of that country and talked about that. And, man, I'm telling you, it is. I don't know if it's on the same scale yet, if it's planned to be. I don't know what's going on, but I just really think that's a government that is eliminating a type of person, a group of people, a tribe of people. Their goal is to eliminate that problem. Wow, I get upset about that stuff because it's happening right there. And I think they do it, you know, and all the news is about the pandemic and everything and stuff, and they're just busy working and doing it. Destroyed 400 churches in the last month. Anyway, So I was going to ask you to pray for, along with me. I want to pray, Lord, right now for the persecutors that will come to know Christ in their hostile communities in Iraq. Let's pray for that. And Lord, I want to pray for the Christian workers in the Maldives, that they will develop new strategies to reach people in the Maldives. Very specific prayers there that Voice of the Martyrs wanted us to pray in Jesus' name. Pray that, all right? It's interesting when I was really thinking about when somebody is standing on stage with a big smile on their face, they're looking at a middle school audience, typical middle American middle school audience, and they're talking about the joy that they have and they face every day as a brand new day, you know, and their opportunities and things that I'm going to do, you know, today. Why do people have tears silently running down the... You know, those words don't normally bring up that type of emotion. But when the person they're looking at doesn't have any arms or legs, it kind of changes. What they're saying is empowered, isn't it? Pretty amazing. The most beautiful people that we have known are those that have known defeat, suffering, struggle, loss. And they found their way out of the depths. Those people have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, greatness, and a deep, loving concern. Beautiful people don't just happen.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
His name is Cartier, as the French would say it very badly. Cartier Carey is proving that no one cannot make a difference, or no one is too young to make a difference, because he's working hard for relief for single mothers. He set up a lemonade stand. Certainly did. It's something kind of new for him. Not the helping part, the lemonade stand. He's rallying members of his community to raise money by selling lemonade and other tasty treats. He's got quite an elaborate lemonade stand. This is it's pretty cool out there in front of his house. Got a tent over it and all that. It's neat. Now, you should know that all the proceeds go towards buying diapers and wipes for mothers in need. He's 11 years old. It's very, I mean, you kind of think, well, that's really cute, isn't it? One thing you should know is that this isn't his first venture into helping people. Earlier in the year, he created these care packages. He calls them Cardi Packs. Maybe that's his nickname, Cardi. They probably call him Cardi. Cardi Packs. They have deodorant, soap, tissues. They were to give out to homeless people, right? He founded a nonprofit organization called Kids for Change 757. He did that about a year ago. Now, before you, that's cute, the lemonade stand. His lemonade stand has yielded over $3,000 in 3 days. His mother said he just wants to continue to keep buying diapers and giving away each day. It's the way it is. He's got a really cool family, I'm sure, because they rally around him. He said, makes me feel happy when I'm actually helping people. Of course, a lot of people, you know, come back to him and offer their gratitude towards him. He says, I'm making a difference, and it encourages me to work in the community. Very cool. Can I call you Cartier? Yeah.
The sound of life.
You know, one time we've been sitting there at the table, at the dining room table. My wife and I having a conversation, probably my son in there, and all of a sudden, the Alexa... I never know what the chef, you know, because I don't want to wake up yours if you don't want to. You say the name and it wakes up. It would answer us. And we never said, hey, Alexa, or anything like that. So, and there's supposed to be like this whole handful of phrases that for some reason, unbeknownst to anyone in the world, will awaken it. You're supposed to say, hey, Alexa. That's supposed to be what it is. Wouldn't it be cool, though, to have a command that said, delete everything I said today? Yeah, it is a happening. It is real. That's right. I think Lisa Berry a couple of weeks ago was talking about that. That's it right there. That is the phrase, if you will, that will erase everything that you've ever said to Alexa during the day. Alexa, delete everything I said today. So I hope yours didn't just do that when I say that. That's the danger. but it sweeps it clean as if it never happened. Too bad the rest of our life doesn't have that capability, huh? Every misspoken word, every disgraceful act, every moment we wish we could erase. Just speak the command and the entire mess would disappear. Well, got good news, though. God does offer each of us a clean heart. He goes way far deeper than merely deleting our mistakes or bad behavior. He provides redemption, a deep healing that transforms us, makes us new. Return to me, he says. I have redeemed you. That was the prophet Isaiah. This is, you know, quoting the Bible there. Even though Israel rebelled and disobeyed, God reached out to them with lavish mercy, swept away their offenses like a cloud, their sins like the morning mist. Woo, that's good news. He gathered all their shame and failures and washed them away with his wide sweeping grace. What did they do? Nothing. What do? We certainly don't deserve that, and not anything close to deserving that. But God will do that with our sin and blunders. There's no mistake. He can't mend. No wound he can't heal. God's mercy heals and redeems the most painful places in our soul, even the ones we've hidden for so long. His mercy sweeps away all of our guilt, washes away every regret. It's pretty cool. It's a thought from Wynn Collier, who puts together devotionals. Did a good job on that one. So many regrets, so many things I'd do differently. God, you tell me that you can forgive and heal me. Thank you.
The Sound of Life.
The mandate is coming down for more states. People have to wear face masks. Although I was quite surprised, it's about half the states, or a little bit more than half, of the states in the United States require people to wear face coverings in public. The thing you should know is that that's nothing new, really. And fines for not wearing them, certainly not new. It's interesting that it didn't catch on faster. I don't know, but a lot of it, and I try to explain this, is, you know, we're made up of states that have states' rights, right? It's the English language. We have the federal government, and so sometimes when the federal government tries to do something in the state doesn't like it, and it always goes back and forth, and the state's screaming for help and all this, you know. So they go back and forth like that. But that's just one of those things, I guess, we probably always will. But, of course, we and a lot of people lived through the 1918 influenza pandemic called the Spanish flu there. It killed like 675,000 people in the United States, 50 million deaths worldwide. So that was pretty catastrophic. And if you didn't comply with wearing a mask, you would get fined. It didn't even throw you in jail for that at times, right? And it was pretty expensive fine, like equivalent to like $1,700 nowadays. Back then it would be like $50 to $100. Something like that. So they were very serious about that. And you see some photographs. I know in the Yankee-Mets game one time, somebody had an old photograph. They don't even know the teams playing. I don't know if they were major league teams, but they were playing with the cotton mask on, you know, somebody made, and that's typically what they wore. And that's what they did. They had some pretty good face coverings at the time, too. But I still thought it was interesting. And if you've ever wondered why, maybe your grandfather or great grandfather, you know. And I remember my dad always did that. He'd whip out a handkerchief. He always carried a handkerchief. Number one, a cotton cloth handkerchief, and he'd whip that thing out and he'd sneeze right into that. And that's the reason from the 1918 pandemic. I mean, he was born in 1920, but obviously that's one of the things that caught on probably was people carrying that piece of cotton around. And man, if you had to cough or sneeze or something, you did it into there. It's very interesting, isn't it? It's just, and they even had anti-mask league. They had an anti-mask league. It was in San Francisco. San Francisco was very hard hit. And that's where some of the stiff penalties were. They were really trying to get people to cut down on that. So anyway, it's very interesting. What came on, you know, what goes around kind of comes around. And that's kind of the way it is. Always remember the Apostle Paul when he was talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols. He said, there's nothing wrong with the meat. You can do that. It's okay. But if there's someone there who would be offended by me eating that meat, then I will not do that. It's very interesting statement and a biblical way to look at the world every day.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So a big day in sports is happening, and sports is back in a big way. Professional sports, all glad to see that. And I was thinking, you know, I kind of came across this from Museum of the Bible. Yeah, on sports. It's pretty awesome. And it gave me the idea of not only a hero for your kids, but also an awesome movie. And I realized there's probably a whole generation that needs to see this movie. Because if you haven't seen the movie about the true story of the Olympics, what was it, 1929 maybe, Olympics? It was in that era. Anyway, that's why I made a D in history. It had to do with the true story of a man named Eric Little, a Scotsman who loved to run. He said, I can feel God's pleasure when I run. And so he was good enough, and he made the Olympic team. 1924 Olympics. Eric Little was scheduled to run. He didn't run long races. He ran like the 100 meters, the 220 or whatever, 200 meters, you know, but he ran in that distance, okay? And one of his, the people that was on his team was a Jewish man named Mr. Abrams. And my favorite part of the movie, which this is the theme song called Chariots of Fire, very appropriately titled, I think, is showing Mr. Abrams sitting in the stands in his suit, watching the guys run and watching Eric Little at the front of the pack, feeling the joy of the Lord and looking at him and going, I want what he has. You just know it's in him. It's amazing. It's amazing job of acting. But in reality, Eric Little was scheduled to run in the 100 meter dash, but refused because it was on the Sabbath. All right. And he said, it's the Lord's day and I have a biblical command to rest, so I'm not going to run. Wow. So what were they going to do? Well, the committee decided that, well, what we'll do is make Mr. Abrams run the 100 meter dash and we'll have Eric Little run the the 400, I guess, right? Four times longer. And that was my favorite line from the movie, when one of the guys said, but that's up to the, can we do that? That's up to the committee. And the guy with the big cigar goes, we are the committee. I always remember that in the movie. But he did it. He ran that day. He ran the 400. And not only did he run, he won the gold medal. Pretty powerful. And I think if you have not seen that movie, and I realize there may be a whole group of you that haven't seen the movie Chariots of Fire, that would be, and even if you have seen it, it's been 100 years since you've seen it, would be really cool to watch it again, and you'll be very inspired, and it'll take your mind off of just about everything.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
You got to skip the line pass. I'm giving it to you for Cup of Joe Morning Show. Yeah, thank you very much.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the sound of life.
Some really good news as far as kids go. You know, you got your kids, and that's what you're really concerned about, right? Because you're not sure what's happening in a lot of areas, things streaming online, a lot of it on Netflix, Disney Plus. There are shows that maybe 20 years ago were around, maybe not that long, but they were, you know, wholesome, what we would call wholesome entertainment, you know, typical. And nowadays, a lot of people are on the all-inclusive kind of bandwagon, you know, every lifestyle you can possibly think of are trying to represent and show there. And some of the authors that were in on the old shows are like, yeah, you know, we're way more diverse now, more inclusive and stuff. And that's the way they see it. And the people that plugged in who review entertainment for Focus on the Family, and you can check into, I love them, always get an idea of how family-friendly something is. And you may say, well, you know, my teenagers, they can handle that if it's violence or something, or maybe it's a little language. They have a tendency to really let loose on the language. That's just something. And it's unfortunate, really, because, you know, it's permeated the culture. And unfortunately, you can just hear it. You hear things out in public that you never heard when I was in high school coming along. But that was 100 years ago. But there's one for kids. I mean, this is definitely for kids, and it's streaming on Netflix and Disney Plus, so a lot of people are going to be able to see this. It's called PJ Mask, okay? And maybe you're like, oh, yeah, it's an animated kids superhero series, all right, that where the baddest bad guys are really pretty tame, right? They're more funny, I think, than bad. The heroes never resort to violence, and it teaches kids about being kind and helping others. I'm not making that up. That's for real, and it's not VeggieTales. It's on Netflix and Disney Plus, and it's called PJ Mask, and that's how they rated it at PluggedIn.com/radio. So of all the things out there, there's one that's really good for you. I thought I'd share with you. PJ Mask.
The Sound of Life.
Where were we? Oh, the single mom lost her job through the pandemic, got a 12-year-old daughter, and going to the grocery store with $7 and bills due, gets out, there's a dollar bill laying on the parking lot, picks it up, goes inside, buys a scratch-off ticket, and wins $100. And her daughter said, why don't we donate the winnings to a police officer who was shot on July 2nd while chasing a suspect? He's in intensive care unit in stable condition. And mom said, okay, we'll do that. On July 10th, she made a $100 donation anonymously. All right. The police said, according to the news source, we spent days tracking her down. And that tells me two things. For one thing, they can't do it in 30 minutes. And another thing, they can do it. Okay. That's amazing, isn't it? They tracked her down. And what they did was they set up a GoFundMe page for this single mom, and as of Wednesday morning, the site has raised over $50,000. Now, before you run out and start a GoFundMe page, remember, this is a very special, really amazing event that happened, that everything happened like this together is really pretty cool. And my prayer is that people will see God in this and grow in this, grow together in unity in this. That's what it is, which there's a great opportunity to do that. But man, oh man, I was looking at this story and I thought, what? It's incredible. So just waiting for somebody to mess it up and do a movie.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.